We need to pray. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity we have together in your name, Lord, and just to experience your blessing in our heart and life. And I thank you, Lord, for the word of the Lord to us today. Lord, speak to us. We are listening. I pray, Father, that the Spirit of the Lord would take this word and put it deep in our hearts, that we would understand and live in all that you have for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Well, there were two farmers that were neighbors, and one of them, he was always looking on the bright side of life. He was always grateful, always positive and upbeat. The other one, he was just opposite. He was always negative, always doubting and always complaining about everything. Whenever it would rain, the positive farmer, he would say, "Oh, this is wonderful. Thank you, Lord. This is just what we need to get our crops going." And the negative farmer, he would say, "Well, if it keeps on like this, it's just going to wash everything away." Then when sunny days came, the positive farmer, he would say, "Thank you, Lord, for the sunshine. This is wonderful. This will make our crops grow." The negative farmer, he would say, "Well, this sun, if it keeps on like this, it's just going to scorch our crops and we're not going to have anything." Well, the positive farmer, he was determined to help his negative friend. So he invited him to go on a duck hunt. And there they were sitting out at the pond. And it wasn't long until the positive farmer, he shot a duck. And he told his friend, he said, "Now watch this." And his dog ran out on top of the water all the way and retrieved the duck and then ran on top of the water all the way back. He turns to his negative friend and he says, "Now what do you think about that?" That old negative farmer said, "That dog don't even know how to swim." Anybody know somebody like that? Don't elbow anybody. I saw that. Anybody like that? Do you know that in this life we can all be that negative person sometimes? But sometimes there are believers that fall into that old rut. And I'm just telling you this morning that God has something better for us. He wants us to live a life of faith. He wants us to know that His promises are for us and His promises are always true. Everybody's got problems. Everybody's got struggles and situations, difficulties to deal with. But whatever there might be, I want you to know that there is a promise in the Word of God for that problem. You know, in our advanced culture today, it's so technological. I know some people might think that, "Oh, the things I'm dealing with certainly aren't addressed in the Scripture." But it's amazing how that the Holy Spirit can take the Word of God and show you how that its principles apply in your life. That whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, there is a promise for that problem. And you need to know this, that that promise will outlast the problem. Always going to be problems in life, but the promise will outlast the problem. So what's your problem? You don't have to answer out loud. In fact, please don't. But I just want you to know there's a promise for that. And that promise can outlast your problem. You may have a whole list of problems. Well, there's a list of promises. There's a promise for every single one of them. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 20, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. It says, "For all the promises of God." Real important that you hear this now. "For all the promises of God in Him," in Jesus, "are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us." We need to know that the answer is yes. When you're standing on a promise, when you are believing God to fulfill His promise, the answer is yes. He doesn't make promises that he can't keep, and he doesn't make promises that he won't keep. Now we're going to back up to verse 15 just to kind of pick up the context of why he said this and what was going on here. Beginning in verse 15, it says, "And in this confidence I intended to come to you before, that you might have a second benefit, to pass by way of you to Macedonia, to come again from Macedonia to you, and be helped by you on my way to Judea. Therefore, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly? Or the things I plan, do I plan according to the flesh, that with me there should be yes, yes, and no, no?" And what had happened here is the Apostle Paul had told them that he was going to come see them. That was his plan, but it didn't work out. You ever have things that don't work out the way you plan? I mean, you intend to do something, maybe you even said that you're going to do something, but there are things beyond your control, and you didn't do it. That's what happened to the Apostle Paul here. And he wants them to understand that he doesn't just say he's going to do things and then not do it. But there's something even bigger here that he wants them to get, that he wants them to understand. He wants them to know that the message that he preached, that the gospel he preached, that the promises of God are always true. They're not yes and no. They're not wishy-washy. They are always true and right. You know, in this life, we certainly know people that whether intentionally or unintentionally, they don't keep their word. I want to remind you this morning that Numbers 23:19 says that God is not a man that he should lie. By the way, I think that might be part of the problem is some people picture God as a man up there in heaven. He's not a man that he should lie. He can't lie. What he says is absolutely true. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 1 and read on from verse 18. But as God is faithful, you see, he's always faithful. He always does what he says. Our word to you was not yes and no. He's letting them know the message, the word that we spoke to you, it wasn't yes and no, maybe. No, it's always yes. He keeps his word. And he's telling them that what he had preached to them was absolutely true. Verse 19, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes." You need to know this, that God's word is true. And the answer to the promise is yes. Too much of this yes and no message. Too much of maybe he will and maybe he won't. It so undermines people's faith and keeps them from believing God. His word is not one thing one time and something else another time. The promises of God are not back then, but not now. That's not the way God works. He is faithful to his word, and his word is eternal. You need to understand that situations and circumstance, everything in this world is temporary. But his word is eternal. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. God is glorified when we believe his promises. God is not glorified by us trusting in ourselves and the things of this world and what we see with the natural eye. He is glorified when we take him at his word, and in spite of how things look we believe and we trust Him. That glorifies God. You know, some religious people want to just do away with all of the promises of God except for the one promise of going to heaven. Oh, how strange it is that they want to take away so much of the Word of God, and again and again and again, in fact, 99% of the Bible, they want to say, well, that's not really for you. Well, that's not really for you. Well, that's not really for you. That was only true back then. Now, they say it this way. Well, that was only for them, not for you. But here's what they're saying. That was true in their life. It's not true in your life. I'm telling you, God's Word is always true. It transcends time and place. It's bigger than a person. And the promises of God are for us. You need to know, whatever you're facing, there is a promise for you. And that promise will outlast your problem. Problems are temporary. Promises are eternal. None of your problems are eternal. You might say, but Pastor, this has been going on for 20 years. I've been dealing with this. It's not eternal. And there is a promise for you that is eternal. Your situation and your circumstance, no matter how long it's gone on, it is subject to change. And even more than that, it is subject to the Word of God. Everything in this world that you see was created by the Word of God. It was spoken into being. Listen to what Hebrews 11:3 says. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made with things which are visible. It is the Word of God that framed the universe. We need to frame our lives with the Word of God. We need to be speaking the Word of God, believing the Word of God over our very lives, expecting God's Word to be fulfilled in our life. I want to remind you of Joshua 1:8, where the Lord told Joshua, "Don't let this book of the law depart out of your mouth." In other words, He told him to keep his conversation, his speech, in line with the Word of God. Speak the Word of God. He said, meditate therein day and night. Then you can observe to do according to all that is written therein, and then you will make your way prosperous, and then you're going to have good success. I want to tell you, you want to have victory in your life, you want to overcome, frame your life with the Word of God. Speak the Word of God over your life. Know that there are promises that will outlast your problems. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment." I don't know about you, but when I'm going through a really difficult time, I would kind of find it offensive for somebody to say it was a light affliction. But the Apostle Paul is talking about himself, and he says, our light affliction. And whether you know and just need to be reminded or you don't know, let me tell you that this man was beaten over and over. He was whipped with the cat of nine tails 5 times. He was even stoned. They persecuted him day after day. Listen, year after year after year, they persecuted this man. And he has the gall to say, for our light affliction, he had a different perspective. He says, it's for a moment. He understood that in the view of eternity, what all he was going through was a light affliction that wasn't going to last. And when you're really going through it, a moment can seem like an eternity. But we need to keep our eyes on the Lord, and we need to stand on His promise and know that whatever great trial we face, it's temporary. You read on in the verse, he says that this light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. We're supposed to be looking at things which are not seen. That sounds like a contradiction. But with eyes of faith, we are looking at eternal things. We fix our eyes on Jesus. We fix our eyes on the Word of the Lord, and we're looking at His Word and the promises that He's given to us instead of just looking at the circumstances. We do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. So we're not focused on our problems. We're focused on the promise. People in this world will say, well, I believe it when I see it. In fact, if you believe things that you can't see, well, they think you're just ignorant. They think you're foolish, deceived. But I'm telling you, the Word of God is always true. And the God who calls things that be not as though they were, He expects us to trust Him, no matter what it looks like, to believe Him and know that the promise is going to outlast the problem. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. God's Word is eternal. It did not start when God's holy men wrote it down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In fact, John 1:1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. You say, I don't know if I believe that. Well, it don't matter if you believe it, it's true. Right. Well, it matters if you believe it in your own life. But it's true whether you believe it or not. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. I want to remind you from Malachi 1:6, he says, I, the Lord, change not. He didn't change anywhere. He's always been this way. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ was the Word incarnate. Amen. God incarnate. And so you need to understand this, that His Word is eternal. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word showed up 2,000 years ago in a human body. So when we talk about the Word, we're talking about something eternal, something that transcends time. 1 Peter 1:25, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. So our problems are temporary, but His promises, they're going to last forever. This world, they're so sure of things. Albert Einstein, really smart man, he said, you imagine that I look back on my work with calm and satisfaction, but there is not a single concept of which I am convinced that it will stand firm, and I feel uncertain whether I am in general on the right track. Now there are lots and lots of people, in fact, the smartest people of our culture, who base their whole life on things that Albert Einstein said. But he was a pretty smart guy. Because he said, I'm not sure of any of it. I'm not sure if any of it will stand the test of time.
I want to tell you what you can be sure of. God's word. No matter what scientists say, no matter what philosophy says, whatever comes and go, in every generation, here's the one thing that will always be true. When arrogant man says, oh, we've learned more now, we know better now, I'm telling you that God's word will always be true. And you can count on his promises that he will do what he says that he will do. The promise will outlast the problem. And as the people of God, we are called to live a life of faith. We don't just live by what we see. We live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. That means that we live by the word of God instead of by what we see. His promises will always be there for us. But we have to believe those promises. We have to appropriate those promises by faith. It doesn't matter how wonderful and how many promises, exceeding great and precious promises that have been given unto us. It doesn't matter how many they are if we don't know them and if we don't believe them and receive them in our life. You've got to receive those promises by faith. And if you have a promise, I'm telling you, you can stand on it. If you have a promise, the answer is yes. How would you feel if you told your child that you were going to do something? Maybe you were going to take them fishing, or maybe you were going to buy them a certain gift. And then you heard your child talking with their friends and saying, well, my dad said we're going to go fishing, but I don't know if we will or not. You never know what he's going to do. Maybe he will and maybe he won't. How would you feel? You know what? Every one of us, no matter how hard we try, there's times when we fail. And we might let our child down. But our Heavenly Father is perfect in all of his ways. He is holy and just and righteous. How must it feel to him when his children say, well, he said this, but you know, maybe he will and maybe he won't. We need to believe the promises. We need to walk in faith. You see, our faith is not just for dying. The just shall die by faith. Our faith is for living. We're supposed to live by faith. Jesus makes it so clear how important faith is in receiving from God. In his ministry, over and over, he said things to people like, according to your faith, let it be to you. Now, he does not change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. According to your faith, let it be to you. That offends religious people. Your faith has made you well. Great is your faith, let it be as you desire. As you have believed, so let it be done for you. I'm telling you, you got to appropriate the promises by faith. So let's talk about faith for just a minute. What is faith? I'll give you the simple Bible definition from Hebrews 11 and 1. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not imaginary. Faith is the substance. It's very real. It is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. What is evidence? That's what you present in a court of law. It's proof of something. Faith is the proof. It's the evidence. You can't see it, but you've got the proof of it. You've got the evidence of it when you have faith. That's what faith is. It is not wishful thinking, positive thinking. It is something that you have substance and evidence when you have faith. Faith. proof of what you can't see. It is trusting in God's word, taking God at his word. If he said it, you believe it. That settles it. Verse 2, he says, "For by it the elders obtained a good testimony." Faith is how you get a good testimony. You don't want to have this testimony. Well, he bailed out. He gave up. Well, they almost made it. That's not a good testimony. We want a testimony that we overcame. We want a testimony that we stood until the battle was won. We want the testimony that we wouldn't give up. We wouldn't back down. So we've got to appropriate the promise. You got to have a promise. There's a whole lot of silly stuff going on today in the name of faith. You know, you can just believe anything. There's people all over the world that believe in all kinds of weird religion, all kinds of strange gods. But even in Christian America, in this religious culture we're living in, people believe all kinds of junk. It's a la carte Christianity. Well, I believe this, and no, I don't think I believe that. Well, I like this over here. I'm going to believe that, and I like that. I heard this guy say that, and you know, this is in a song on Christian radio, so it must be true. And I'm telling you, this is how a lot of people get disillusioned, and the devil messes them up. Faith is not wishful thinking. It's not just what you decided I'm going to believe. That's fantasy faith. Real faith is what God has said, and I believe it. That's real faith. It has to be based on the Word of God. So you need a promise if you're going to really believe God for the answer in your life. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Most people don't even know the promises. They ain't got a promise to stand on. Struggling in their life, situations, problems, no answers, and they don't even know the promises. Now, I'm not a real big fan of God promise books. Now, I want to clarify, I'm a fan, I'm just not a big fan, all right? I probably have 8 or 10 of them. So I like them. But I'll tell you where the danger with the God's promises books are. A lot of times people will find a verse of Scripture, a promise that they get out of a promise book or some other similar type thing. And they'll say, oh, I'm claiming this promise. But they take it out of context. They don't bother to know what other conditions might be on that promise. And so I would encourage you, use a God's promise book to help you find promises for the problem that you're facing. But when you find a promise and you decide that you're going to believe God and stand on it, go to that passage of Scripture and read the context and find out what it's really all about. Because if it doesn't apply to your situation, you don't want to be trying to claim it for your situation. And if it does apply to your situation, it'll just strengthen your faith to stand on that word from God. But here's the important thing. You need to know what the Bible says. You need to know the Word of God so you can stand on the promises of God. See, some people, they're acquainted with the promises, but they're intimate with their problems. You hearing what I'm saying? They've heard the promise for their situation, but they're consumed with their circumstance. They might even be able to quote the promise, but they talk all day about their problem. Walking by sight instead of faith. So you get a promise. You got a problem? Get you a promise. Psalm 119 verse 162 says, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. I think that verse of Scripture could certainly be applied in many different ways. But I think it certainly applies to what we're talking about this morning. When you got a problem, a situation in your life, and you get a word, it is a treasure. Oh, it can change everything. One word from God can totally turn things around. What a great treasure. But you know what? Sometimes to get a treasure, you got to go hunt for one. You got to go look for it. I know that sometimes in His goodness and mercy, you know, we flip open the Bible and we go, "Speak to me, God." Oh, be of good cheer, daughter. That's pretty good. Oh, wait, I'm not a daughter. Well, I'm just telling you that God may, in His mercy, give you a verse that way. But most of the time, it's going to come when you've been searching. He says, seek and keep on seeking and you will find. If you really need an answer, you really need a promise to stand on, then you'll search the Scriptures and you'll keep searching and you'll find one. The Holy Spirit will speak something to your heart. There's another deception that's so prevalent in the religious culture of the day, and that is that faith is just accepting things as they are. Faith is trusting God in the midst of anything. Whatever you're going through, you can trust God. And in the midst of your problem and situation, yes, you trust God, like Job did. You trust God. But faith is not accepting things as they are, because it tells us in Hebrews 11, 1, that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. It is not just accepting what is seen. No, it's believing God for something different, not what I see. We're not looking at the things which are seen, but the things which are eternal. That's our focus. We got to live out our faith, believe what God has said. And it has to be more than just a mental acknowledgement. No, faith without works is dead. We have to have a faith that shows in the way we live our life and the conversation of our mouth. And when we get a promise from God, we have to continue in faith. So often we just expect it right here, right now. We don't understand when God isn't on our timetable. But I'm telling you, the promise will outlast the problem if you stand and believe God. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 11 through 15. It says, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." You want to be one of those that inherits the promises? He's given us some simple things here. In these two verses, there's three principles that we need to apply so we can have faith and overcome. First, he says that you have the same diligence. Don't be lazy. There's a whole lot of lazy Christianity. We're living in a lazy culture, but there's not any area where people are more lazy than when it comes to their spiritual life. Well, I just don't know if I can make it to church. We just want to stay home, relax. I don't know what that's like, where life is so good that you don't need a word, where you don't need nothing from God. Well, I'm hoping God will just show up and spill it on me anyway. Can't even go to church. We want to inherit the promises. We're not going to be lazy. We're going to be diligent, going after the promises of God. Y'all got quiet on me. Is that because y'all come at 10:45? Come on, y'all are okay. We're all right. You're here. I'm talking about those lazy people today. In the last 6 months, we have had 1,200 people, 1,200 different people attend our church that we know of, that we have some kind of record, whether it's a record of giving or checking in a child or something else. 1,200 people. Last Easter, we had over 600. What would happen if all 1,200 showed up one day? I mean, if all 1,200 decided that, hey, I'm not going to be lazy today. I'm going to be in church today. I need a word from God. We're living in a lazy generation, I'm just telling you. And if you want to have faith and really overcome, inherit the promises, then be diligent. Next, he says, we're to imitate those who through faith and perseverance. You see, we got to keep going. You got to have faith, but you got to persevere in that faith. So many give up because God didn't do it on their time. When you read about the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, they were all people that stood in faith. They were all people that didn't get it just in an instant, but they were people who believed God and they persevered, they endured. Verse 13, he says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Patiently endured. Are you patiently enduring? Listen, Abraham was 75 years old when he got the promise that God was going to bless him and give him a son. It was 25 years later when the promise outlasted the problem. He patiently endured. Your promise will outlast your problem. Romans chapter 4, 16 through 21. Therefore, it is if it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope, believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. 25 years he stood on that promise. So what are you standing on? What promise are you believing for your children, for your marriage, for your finances, for your ministry and how God would use you? You need to have a promise. Most of you know, but 9 years ago, when Carmen was diagnosed with cancer, we went to the hospital first. She was going to have a test, and we never even imagined, never even crossed our mind that she could have cancer. We weren't fearful. Are you kidding me? We were totally shocked when the test came back that she had cancer. But when she was sitting in the waiting room before she had the test, she was reading her Bible, and the Lord gave her a verse of Scripture. Psalm 118 and verse 17, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. And that verse has kept her and been with her. And I want you to know that that promise will outlast the problem. That she will not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. You know, when she got that diagnosis, we would have preferred that, well, we just didn't get that diagnosis. We would have preferred that the first time we prayed that all the symptoms and signs would just be gone. We would have preferred that when we gathered together and laid hands on her, that it all be gone in Jesus' name from that very moment. And though I believe that in the spirit, There were some things that happened when we did that. There were still signs and symptoms. Until 9 years later. Still fighting that battle. But the Word of God is still true. It is absolutely true. Back in that first year, prayed and asked God for instant healing, a quick miracle. And when it didn't happen, Karen had thought about all of the many different healings in the New Testament where it was instantaneous. And so she asked God, she said, give me an example of when somebody had to believe for a long time for a healing. And she went to bed, and three times in the night, the Lord gave her a verse reference. Strange way that the Lord would choose to speak to you sometimes, but he told her Romans 4:19. A little bit later, he told her Romans 4:19. A little bit later, Romans 4:19. She forgot about it when she first got up, but then later when she was having her devotional time, she remembered, oh yeah, the Lord spoke to me, Romans 4:19. And so she turned there, and this is what she read. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Sarah had never been able to have children. The deadness of Sarah's womb. And here is his own body, the Bible says, as good as dead. And yet after 25 years, they waited 25 years. I'm telling you that it doesn't matter if it's a day, a year, 9 years, or 25 years. The promise will outlast the problem. You need a promise that you can stand on and not waver. Verse 20, it says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. He didn't waver. Don't waver. The Bible tells us that in James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, that if we waver, we're not going to receive anything. Now, waver doesn't mean that you had a negative thought or a doubt cross your mind. No, you're always going to have that battle. Waver is when you begin to say things and do things that show unbelief in your life. That's when you're really wavering. You see, we say we're believing God, and then we turn around and we say, oh, we don't know what we're going to do. That's wavering. Make up your mind you're going to stand fast, firm in the faith, and don't waver. But be like Abraham, trusting that God is able to do what he said that he was going to do. It's just another passage that tells us how damaging unbelief is. We got to stand firm in our faith. And it brings glory to God. We read it right there in Romans 4:20. He glorified God. Faith doesn't mean that it will happen now. Noah built an ark because God spoke to him. And they say it took Noah, some say 80 years, some say as much as 100. And yet, God kept his word. Other people laughed and mocked and scorned him, but nobody was laughing when the water started pouring down. I'm just telling you that sometimes when you stand in faith, it's going to be a while. Don't get discouraged or disillusioned. But what God has spoken to you will outlast your situation. Get you a promise. Do you need guidance? Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Are you being attacked, accused by other people? Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. I'm telling you, you need to get you a promise. Are you tired and weary, feeling weak? Isaiah 40:29 says, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. wondering how your kids are going to make ends meet, let me tell you something. Psalm 37 and 25 says, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. I'm telling you, there's a word you can stand on. I remember years ago, my wife was teaching a Sunday school class, and she was using a denominational material, and she was talking about raising children, and the scripture that was being used was, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. And in the teaching, it said, now, this is not a promise. This is a general principle. This is the way religion undermines faith. Because to everybody that thinks that way and believes that way, let me tell you, that is a totally worthless teaching then. Has no bearing. Well, we just do the best we can, hope for the best. We don't know. Let me tell you, when your child is going the wrong way, the answer is not for you to say, see, it doesn't work, it was just a general principle. The answer is for you to stand on the promise of God and say, I'm believing. This is my promise. This is my word. I raised them right, and they're going to serve the Lord. Don't throw in the towel and say, well, that didn't work. Believe. Believe. Get you a promise. Believe God. He can get you through to victory. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I want prayer partners to go ahead and come. Some of you saying, why is that preacher mad? Preacher's not mad. I'm just passionate. I'm just saying. A side note before we pray. I've tried to be one of those new kind of style teacher guys. Y'all just have to bear with me. Sometimes I just got to let God use me the way He made me. So, let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word to us. That it's a sure thing. That we can count on you. In a world where everything else is shaken, you are unchanging, immutable God. And your word never fails. Father, help us learn to trust you more. To believe you. To walk by faith and bring glory and honor to you. I pray, Father, for those that are struggling in some area today. Lord, that they would get that word they need and be able to stand in faith. I pray, Father, for those, Lord, are struggling in their faith, that as they pray, help my unbelief, Father, that you would show them mercy and help them right where they are. And Father, that you be glorified in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. As we dismiss, I'm going to speak the blessing over you. But if you need prayer this morning for any reason, I encourage you to come. Whether you are believing God for a miracle or you're believing God to move and work in your child or a loved one's life, or maybe you yourself know that you need to be closer to the Lord, come for prayer this morning. I want to give you one more great promise from the scripture today. The Lord Jesus himself said, if any two of you agree together as touching anything, it shall be done for them of my Father in heaven. And so when we conclude our service with prayer partners, it is not just some vain ritual that we do. It is something that is very powerful. When you agree with someone else in prayer, and these are believing people, these are people that know the promises of God that can pray with you. And so if there's a need in your life today, you want to pray about something, let me tell you, this is a great opportunity for you to come for prayer. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.